Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Three rounds left.
Woo! That was a great intro. Well done, Jared. Yeah, we're excited. Guys, welcome into Six Again, the Six Again podcast. My name's Adam.
My name's Jared, as was previously discussed.
Excellent. And if this is your first time listening to Six Again, we're a couple of mates from Queensland, Australia, and we talk about NRL and rugby league. So we're coming up to round 18, three rounds to go, and I'm really excited because on a completely separate note, English Premier League kicks off on Saturday night.
Who cares?
I do.
Who cares? Best follow a proper sport.
In the world.
Follow a proper sport.
Yeah, I like rugby league better as a sport, but the Premier League has everything that you want in an actual sporting competition. It's brilliant.
Except for rugby league.
No, we established that. I prefer rugby league as a sport.
No, but you said everything you want in a national sporting competition, except for rugby league. Doesn't have rugby league.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, yeah, rugby league doesn't have atmosphere and singing.
Yeah, that's. I will admit that's what. Well, pretty much every other sport.
We're just generalising there. We only get to go to Suncorp and.
No. The closest thing we've got is Canberra, and that's the Viking Clap. But the NRL, it's partly their fault. But
why do my Aussie sport fans are just so quiet?
No, it's not Aussie sport fans. Well,
it kind of is
because we're all idiots. And we get on the run and start fights.
That's true, actually. Australians their booze. Very
yeah, right. So we suck at it, and then we start fights. So essentially, there's so many rules in rugby league, Australian sport, actually.
Yeah.
That when you buy a ticket, you're literally just expected to sit in your seat and go, "Yay!"
Yeah,
in
that's that voice.
It's horrible because, yeah.
Jeez, we started this off on a positive note. I'm trying to say,
it's honestly the one thing that NRL could do so much better, and Canberra are doing the right thing by trying to get the Viking Clap.
Yeah, I've got heaps of ideas for crowd engagement.
Well, you look at the NFL, every little team's got their own little gimmick. And like, even college teams. So, who's that team who walk out to Metallica and to Sandman?
Don't
care. Every game. There's that college team who does that. Like, they do that so much better. Rugby league are this like shit for crowd involvement at all.
First 1,000 fans every game get a free t-shirt that's already sitting on their seat.
Nah.
Why not?
Create a
especially chance. For milestone games.
Well, who's the cheeseheads in America? Philadelphia?
A what?
The cheeseheads, are they Phil?
Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. So it throws that much on. Like, shit like that, that's what you need. Like, just a shitty little gimmick or a chant or.
Yeah, we do. We've got mascots.
Yeah, righto. Awesome. A tradition that every team does at the home game. Like, yeah, Canberra have the Viking Clap. I don't know what Manly have. Do you guys have anything you play?
Allow all the kids onto the oval after the game. Onto the rectangle, sorry.
Yeah. That's one of the few that actually do that.
One of my favourite photos is a whole bunch of kids running out picking up balls and me just standing there. Only adult on the field. It was brilliant.
They would have been, half of them would have been taller than you too. So Newcastle have a Newcastle chant when someone feels like starting that up. But there's shit like that you want.
I just want free stuff. Like, literally, if you say it's, who's someone coming up for a milestone game? Like, Brett Morris is last week, right? Say it was non-COVID, there were crowds there. BMOS 300, have like the date on it, have the team list down each side of the shirt. First 5,000 people through the gate get that shirt and you all get to wear it at the game.
Do you remember going down? Allan Border Field.
Yes.
Where we watched the Women's Australia play England in the 2020 series, I think it was. That was a better atmosphere than most men's game because you got a whole heap of stuff when you walked in. So all of us got T-shirts. The girls actually wanted to talk and interact with the fans. It was better.
I got to say, like, the international cricketers are really good at interacting with the fans. Mainly...
Yeah, they are. But is this because the girls were more appreciative because they're not playing in front of 100,000 people as much as...
Literally little things. Beach ball goes on the field, hit it back.
It was just... Sport can be done a lot better to get crowds in. I think the first two things they've got to do, especially rugby league, is reduce the amount of food, the price of food and drink.
Oh, they did.
Not well. And two, actually try to make it interactive. Then the crowds are going to get bigger. And then we won't have to watch...
They won't make the food and drink prices lower.
But that means after what we won't have to watch Broncos every Friday night. Because they're the only ones to get a crowd, so that's why they get it.
No. That's that comes all down to ratings.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with the crowds there.
Either way, it's shit, and it's the worst thing rugby league does.
I know. I still reckon you keep the ball if you get kicked into the crowd.
Yeah. Well, right now you should because they
cost 30 cents to make a ball. Probably cost the NRL $5 to buy each one.
No, I don't doubt you, but the problem, it should be now because we're all supposed to be limited away from the players. So that's a COVID breach. Someone could cough on the ball and send it.
No, I mean, like, once that stuff's over, it'll be, oh, and then if you get a ball, that means you get a free walk down at the end of the game to get it signed by whichever player comes over.
All right, we digressed a lot from the start of that one.
Anyway. Okay, so not much has happened off the field the last few days. We cover that stuff first. All right, one of the other things that not many people would have seen, the NRL today, they have a mental health program called NRL State of Mind, and they've today announced a partnership with not-for-profit mental health foundation Gotcha for Life. So this is further strengthening the game's long-standing approach to increasing positive mental well-being and support amongst communities. It's going to see Gotcha for Life joining federal, state, territory governments, blah, 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 blah. But this links in with NRL expert mental wellbeing partners like Lifeline, Headspace, Black Dog Institute, Kids Helpline. And we know there's a lot of players throughout the NRL community that are really passionate about mental health. Joel Thompson definitely comes to mind. Benji Marshall's a Gotcha for Life ambassador. This is huge news, and this is the sort of stuff you'd prefer to be seen on NRL 360 and that sort of stuff rather than the crap that the journalists have been bitching about this week at each other.
But what are
they and Kent arguing about that Tigers leaving the ground early crap and anyway.
I don't, at this point, I just don't even watch it. It annoys me too much how ridiculously ignorant they've been about the whole, well, everything.
It's some reason they... Buzz Rotfield, I like that better. Paul Cont, James, whoever his last name, talks
Cooper. In
the 1940s. And Pete Crowley, and they just sit there and argue and bitch about each other.
Pretty much.
It's crap. It's absolute crap. But anyway, so that's big news. Darren Lockyer has come out and given a very broad, approximate timeline for a new Broncos coach appointment. They want to give whoever it is a full month of planning before preseason starts. So they're looking at an appointment mid-October, so 5 weeks away, we'll say, 4 to 6 weeks, give it a bit of range. And with only two candidates that have been in the public eye, I wonder what they're going to be doing for the next 4 to 6 weeks before they make an announcement.
Yeah.
They're interviewing people we don't know about yet.
I'm super curious about this because, there is so much support behind Kevin Walters, and for some reason he hasn't been cleared as the definite favourite because it's between him and Paul Green. But I feel like the longer it goes on, the less of a chance he's going to be coaching him. And I feel like, on the other hand, longer it goes on, maybe Paul Green be like, fuck's sake, hurry up and make a decision. Which comes up to the next bit of news is where Broncos are considering a shock last minute play for Kieran Foran, who, if no one remembers, tore his pec. So the question I've got there is, and it's the same question I had when Bulldogs signed Trent Barrett, is why are you signing people without the coach's input? So if that's correct about Kieran Foran, that is a big call to make, bringing in someone like him who's, what, 33, 34, 31?
Approximate 40.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's got the hamstrings of an 88-year-old, unfortunately. That's a big call to bring in someone like that without a coach.
If the coach wants it.
So we don't know if it's true about Broncos considering Foran, but even if it's not true, a month isn't enough time. So to organise your team that you're going to have. So next year, essentially, is a complete write-off for the Broncos coach because he won't have enough time to bring anyone in he wants. And another rumour going around is Broncos are thinking of offloading Offer Hengawi. So maybe the incoming coach will be pissed off about that because I know he's only been averaging 74 metres all year from like 4 or 5 carries a game, and I can't tell you how many tackles. But to get rid of a Queensland Origin player with the board just making that decision before a coach gets an input, fuck me. That's so you kind of sign Kieran Foran and let go off of Hengawi without a coach, and he has to walk in there and go, thanks a lot, guys. Well, let's go.
The only hope for Broncos fans is all the rumours pretty much this year have come true. Oh.
What?
Oh, bugger. Yeah, they probably don't want them to come through true, do they?
No.
Oh, my bad. You touched on Trent Barrett. We didn't even talk about baffling. The plan, the stuff that's been going on at the Bulldogs this week.
Oh, yeah. So Phil Gould came out and publicly said that Barrett should backflip because of the toxic environment at the Broncos.
And by Broncos, it means Bulldogs.
Sorry?
And by Broncos, you mean Bulldogs?
Oh, yeah, Bulldogs. Sorry. I'm just used to having toxic and Broncos in the same
sentence. This year, yeah.
So, Lynn Anderson, I reckon, is causing a lot of troubles. There's a divide between the board. It's pretty much Lynn Anderson, who's the COO or whatever, versus
of the Bulldogs, yeah.
Of like, and like two other people on the board versus everyone else.
Yeah. It's the head of the league's club versus the football club. And Canterbury's one of the clubs that most heavily relies on their league's club for income. So, it's not like people are thinking, yeah, but one's a football club, one's like an RSL. But the RSL funds the club basically, so it's a pretty big. This has been on for almost a year now, longer.
Three years. It was there when Hazel was there.
Yeah, it's another club there, where the coach is going to walk in, and we talked about this last week. The coach is just a pawn. They can say who they want, but it doesn't mean they'll get who they want. The board will give them who they believe is the best. If they agree with the coach, it's a bonus. Because the coach doesn't write the checks, he doesn't make the contracts, he doesn't. Yeah, he's just like, these are the players I want.
I'm not getting into that again, but yeah. Well, I was leaning towards more the same situation as when Barrett signed with the Bulldogs. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember who it was. It might have been just Nick Kotrick or whatever, but Bulldogs are signing people the same time they signed their coach. So it's a very such an interesting thing because I believe personally, and we're not going to get into it again, but I believe personally the coach should have more of a say in recruitment and stuff. But if a club currently has no coach and the board are doing recruitment decisions, how is he supposed to walk in that team and be his? Like, it's super weird.
It is weird. Interesting to see what comes out. I'd say next year's a write-off for the Broncos regardless. But, yeah, give them a month. Yeah, we'll see what they come up with. We know Adekar's coming back to Sydney next season, pretty much. Tigers have offered a 4-year multi-million dollar deal for him. Adekar's come out and said that he wants to play fullback. Michael Maguire, the Tigers coach, has said there are some attributes that he has, not all of them, and with regards to a fullback position. But Michael Maguire, very rightly so, has said no to a Nofaluma Adekar swap trade deal.
That was the second one.
Yeah, as he should. If you get Adekar, that's great, but you're not going to be giving up Nofaluma to get him. It pretty much puts you back where you started. They're both great wingers for different reasons, but yeah, that's an easy no, I'd say, from the Tigers.
He also had another no 2 weeks ago because the original one was actually Tommy Talau. So he said no to him for Adekar, and he also said no to Nof. So, but okay. we talked a couple of weeks ago when this all first came out that Adekar wanted to play fullback. Here's how I see that. The best coach in the last 20 years, Craig Bellamy, would have put him at fullback when they lost Slater if he believes he's a fullback.
Yeah.
So,
Yes.
A bit worried about that one.
So that's interesting. Another thing come out, Bronson Cherry, who we know has been suspended from the NRL since a sample of his came back positive for steroids. His B sample last week, 2 weeks ago, came back positive for steroids as well. He's come out and said that he's going to be challenging the ruling or the outcome, and that date will be within the next 6 to 8 weeks. It's pretty interesting that both A and B samples tested positive. Steroids have a limited shelf life within the body. So whether he knew that he was on them, but he may believe that he should have been outside the window of testing positive. it could be that. It could be that if he was using masking agents, they weren't as effective as he believed they were going to be. Whatever. He'd have to have something on his side to be challenging this. The whole time Cronulla's been paying his contract, which is $20,000 a month, which I didn't know, considering he'd been completely stood down by the NRL. Interesting line that he's taken here.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting because it actually hasn't come out what defense he's done. It's only come out that he's going to appeal it.
He said.
Yeah. So you gotta kind of ask
based
the question
on whether you feel as though you've been mistreated, whereas a challenge is I don't believe that's the right outcome.
Okay. So he thinks he's been mistreated in the two. Could he be claiming that he didn't know about it and he like someone slipped it to him? Like Shayna Jacks appealed the same thing.
Yeah.
Australian swimmer. Right. I think someone slipped it to her. I'm not really 100% certain on it.
So like someone may have jabbed him in the back.
You'd think after two positive samples, you're kind of done. Mm. But if he just accepts his 4-beer ban, the thing he's got on his side, I know he'll be tainted as a drug kid, but if he keeps fit and sorts out his life a bit, maybe more. And I'm not saying he's guilty of it, but two positive samples is a pretty big deal. He's going to be back by the time he's 25 if he only gets a 40 thing. Mm. So there are people who come back, for example, Sandal Earl. There's others that I can't think of right
yeah,
now.
I don't know. Once your A and B sample test positive, I reckon overthrowing that through a challenge is about as likely as finding a needle in a haystack.
Well, he's going to be able to find a needle, so...
And if he does get
just
off...
Just so everyone knows, Adam does write these things down before.
What's that? My jokes?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Even if he does get off, I don't want my club signing because he seems like a bit of a prick. But... That's three. Let's go. Oh, God.
He's too well at Manly because you guys need all the drugs to stop getting hamstring injuries.
Oh, see, that's what happens when Jared tries. I think Jared's hamstrung by his own lack of talent. But anyway.
See, I'm not a dad. I don't get these ones just automatically come to me.
Yeah. Oh, there's that video sent. Oh, yeah, Curtis Scott. That's just who we're about to talk about. Curtis Scott's had 5 of his 7 offences withdrawn by the judge. It came down to, what did the judge say? It was an unlawful arrest based on the fact that he was passed out slumped against a tree when the police officers put the cuffs on him and arrested him. So it was an unlawful arrest which wiped out 5 of the 7 offences. He's attending court for the other 2 that he pleaded guilty for, both under the same title of behaving in an offensive manner near a public place.
Hmm.
I think that's quite interesting. What deems near a public place?
Yeah.
And you're on your own property and you're being offensive because you're near the pavement? I don't know.
Nah, I just think they're going to sting it on you just to... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's weird wording. I think
anyway. You just stand outside of any pub and be inappropriate, you'd probably be fine with that one.
But outside a pub, you're in public anyway.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Anyway, so he's 2 out of 7 ain't bad if that's all he's pleading guilty for. All right, that's pretty much everything that's been happening off the field. Jared will take us through signings because there's been a pretty big one. Was it today announced or yesterday? Yeah. I think it was today.
So the biggest one that got announced today, which should have been announced probably 3 to 4 months ago, Alex Johnson re-signed with South Sydney on a pay cut. So for some reason, South Sydney thought it would be acceptable to not re-sign Alex Johnson. And I guarantee you, when every club saw that, they were like, oh, let's sign him. I know Melbourne were interested. I know Manly were interested. Yeah. So, yes, he finally got re-signed. South Sydney came to their senses and re-signed probably their most prolific try scorer in their top 30, probably minus Dan Gay guy. Has there been any other signings? The only other ones
we've already talked about being Toby Rudolph, etc. All right. Injuries, and we're getting straight into teams. So, I'm not going to say it's going to be a short show. We'll find something to argue about. Anthony Milford is out for the season for the Broncos with a hamstring injury that he's been unable to shake off. We already knew Matt Lodge was out for the season with a knee injury. He's also had an elbow clean out through surgery. Tom Flegler has had surgery on his shoulder. He'll be right for 2021 preseason, supposedly. For the Storm, Vunivalu and Asafa Solomona both returned from injury this week from jaw and calf issues. Tavita Totola is out for the Rabbitohs this week with a knee injury. George Tafua, we talked about on Sunday's show. Leaving the field for Manly, looked like a torn calf. He actually ruptured his Achilles tendon. So he's already out of surgery. He's out for 6 months. At least Manly's consistent with regards to injuries. John Schuster made his debut at 5'8". looks like he's done for the season as well. Picked up a syndesmosis injury in his ankle. Tom Trbojevic and Ruben Garrick look as though they'll return at some point over the next 3 weeks. Not certain. And Dylan Walker will be kept on ice for the remainder of the season, with Manly pretty much not been able to make the finals. They're not going to rush him back. If they're going to make that decision on Dylan Walker, I hope they make that decision on Trbojevic as well.
No, stop it.
Manly needs something else for him. Come on.
Stop it. He wants to play football this year. Just let him. Let him play football, Adam.
No. players have no say.
You just have all the say.
All right. So that brings us to the team list already. So some big names being rested for some teams, some big names being inclusions in some teams.
And some big names should be rested, but they're not.
Yeah, so there's a one controversial
call. I can't believe it.
To this. So no, I'm just having a look ahead. Yeah, you do this first one because Manly's on Friday night.
Okay. So the first game.
Just to give you guys a heads up, because it annoys my brother and annoys the hell out of me. Jared runs through the team list from forwards and then backs. So you're counting all over the place, whereas I run 1 to 13, just to give you a heads up.
All right. So the forwards for Tigers versus South Sydney. Stop bitching about it.
Idiot.
Okay. Up front for Tigers, McKaylee, Grant and Alawai. Wait a minute. Have you guys had a chat about this, how much it annoyed you?
He said it on the show last week.
I was too busy taking pictures of him. Luciano Leilua and Luke Garner in the second row with Alex Twile at lock. At halfback, you got Luke Brooks, Benji Marshall at 5'8", with the centres Adam Dewey and Joseph Leilua, with Nomfuluma and Asu Kapanoa. Oh, he's that bloke who...
he was there last week.
Signed in for Sonny Bill. Yeah, okay. And Moses Mbai football. I actually like how Moses Mbai's been playing fullback. He's been
and I like how well. Adam Dewey's playing centre.
Well, I actually didn't mind Dewey at fullback either.
No, neither do I. Yeah. I wish he was there last week. We Manly probably would have won.
You got Eisenhoof, Taylor, Liddell, and McIntyre with rounding out 17 with Lawrence and Talao. So, yeah. For South Sydney, you got Burgess, Cook, and Liam Knight up front with Bailey Sirenin and Jaden Sewer with Cam Murray.
So, Liam Knight's come off the bench to starting prop for Tevita Totola.
Yeah. Adam Reynolds, Cody Walker, with Stephen Masters and Campbell Graham, Johnson, Gay Guy, and Allen, the back three. And you got Darren Nichols, Jed Cartwright, absolute superstar that bloke is. I like Jed. Patrick Margot and Kolomatangi with Jackson Paulo. I can't pronounce it. And Kai Rodwell. So
by Darren Nichols, Jared meant Mark Nichols, but yeah, same dude. So it's Patrick Margo who's come onto the bench, I'm pretty sure, for Liam Knight, who's gone in for Tevita Totola. Jackson Paulo being put into the reserves is interesting. But I guess that's with Dane Gagai coming back. You got to drop someone, and Corey Allen performed pretty damn well last week at fullback. So, yeah, this is... I know South lost last week, but they were still impressive against Melbourne. Tigers showed a fair bit actually of heart to come back against Manly, but coming back against the Manly team at the moment's a lot different to keeping the Storm to 22 points and scoring 18 yourself. I'm taking Rabbits in this one. I know Tigers have got more to play for. They pretty much need to win their way into the finals. But South have looked really good over the last month, the last few weeks. They've been one of the form teams in the comp. And I think one thing that's impressive is in their backs, they're sharing the points around, which is good. Everyone's contributing. So they have been, I guess, guilty in the past of doing everything down a certain side. But Yeah, no, I'm going Rabbits in this one. The only concern for them, I guess, is Keon Kolomatangi has to pass HIO protocols tomorrow. If he doesn't, who'd they have on the bench there? Kai Rodwell. Don't know anything about him.
No.
Is he a forward? Let's have a look. I'm guessing he'd have to be if that's what you're...
Kai Rodwell is a...
She's a halfback.
186, 102.
Yeah, he's a forward.
He's a 6'1", yeah.
Rick could be a so, big center.
I was going to say that'd be a massive halfback. Yeah, so I'm on South Sydney on this one. Possibly, yeah, like Adam said, the only chance Tigers have is they come out with an awesome attitude with about the fact that they can potentially make finals, which I, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised with a Michael Maguire coached side. But if South Sydney win this, they essentially knock out the Tigers of chasing them.
Yeah.
They're gone. So South Sydney have just as much to play for in this as far as their safety goes as the Tigers do. So.
Oh, there's a typo there. Hold on. Oh, no. It just says West Tigers unchanged from last week's win. I thought that was a typo.
Okay. All right. So next game is
they
Bulldogs.
Change it
Bulldogs
are Manly. So Manly's bogey team. We don't like the playing the Bulldogs. They usually beat us. So. Bulldogs from 1 to 13. Will Hoppawattie at fullback. Nick Meaney and Jaden Ockenbore makes his return to the NFL on the wing. Remia Smith and Dallin Watene-Zalesniak are in the centres. Now, this is an interesting selection. We know Foran's out. They've got Brandon Wakeham, who's a half, but they'll decide to throw Jake Averillo in at 5'8", who's usually been playing centre for them. But anyway, Jake Averillo at 5'8", with Lachlan Lewis. Ofikdi Ogden and Aiden Tolman as props with Jeremy Marshall-King at hooker. Josh Jackson, Raymond Fatala-Mariner second row with Luke Thompson at starting lock. Now, Brandon Wakeham is on the interchange with Renef Tuamaga, Matt Dury and Suaso Su. And Tim Laffey again named in the reserves. So I don't know what he's done to piss people off because Stanley just signed him. Do not be surprised at all if Brandon Wakeham starts at 5'8 over Jake Averillo. Now, another Manly side with changes. This will be great. Tevita Funa at fullback, who looked pretty good last week, honestly. Albert Hoppawattie on the wing. Abbas Miski getting a run on the wing with Brad Parker and Morgan Harper. If you look at that back five, there is no one. Sorry, Brad Parker is the only one of that back five who's a regular. The other four are. Oh, and the same with the 5'8", Cade Cust. So out of the back seven, you've got two players there who started the season. Wow. Only just noticed that. In the forwards, you had Adam Fanua-Blake and Martin Taupau up front with Danny Levi. Jack Kajewski, Curtis Siren in the second row. Jack Trbojevic is lock. Interchange, Lachlan Croker, Corey Waddell, Sean Kepi, Taniela Paseka. It's good to see for Manly fans, I guess, Luke Metcalf in the reserves. He ripped it up in the nines earlier this year. Has a fair bit of pace. And Ben Trbojevic on the reserve bench as well. Doubt he's going to make his debut, but he's there. Honestly, yeah. I'm Bulldogs in this one, eh?
Yeah, I went Dogs as well, but to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Manly could do it as well, to be honest.
I really hope we do.
But in saying that too, do you feel like you can have a win, or would you rather you guys are the ones who take the hit to make Broncos get the wooden spoon? Can you walk out of the game proud that you were the one who sacrificed yourselves on the reality of Broncos getting the wooden spoon?
Sure.
Yeah, can that be one positive you take out of a potentially shit performance?
Sure. The Bulldogs are aiming to avoid seven straight defeats for the first time since 2008.
Okay, so the
and
next
Azar
game...
And will reach the milestone of 250 games as the Eagles coach. So it gives Manly something to play for, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so next game...
It's going to be match of the round.
Yeah, so probably going to be match of the round. You got Penrith versus Parramatta, top versus, I think it's three. They're third.
Third.
Yep. So, and this is the part we said that people should be rested. This is, it really pisses me off too. Okay, so for Penrith, you've got James Fisher-Harris, Apisau Coruscant, and James Tamo up front with Liam Martin, Viliama Kickout, and Isaiah Yeo at lock. You could make an argument for Kirk Capewell coming in, but that's probably their strongest forward pack. And then you got Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, Stephen Crichton, Brent Naden, Josh Mansell, Brian To'o, and Dylan Edwards as your back line. With Tyrone May, Spencer Leniu, Moses Leota, and Zane Tedovano. With Mitch Kenny, Kirk Capel, Matt Burden, and Charlie Staines. Okay, so this is the part that annoys the living shit out of me. So up front for Parramatta, you got Junior Paulo, Reid Marnie, and Campbell Gillard. So Brad Arthur said that if Reid Marnie can play, he will play with an AC joint shoulder injury. In the, I think it's Saturday night, 7th, I can't remember which game it is, Newcastle playing Roosters. Adam O'Brien, the Newcastle coach, has come out and said, look, I've got Caelan Ponga, who I'm assuming broke his nose last week. I don't know what it is. He had a lot of blood. We're going to rest him because we would rather have him fit and firing for the finals than be injured, potentially. Like, his workload's been too high. So, and that's because Newcastle are definitely going to make it the eight. They're going to make the bottom four of the eight. I don't think they're going to make the top four. There's mathematical chance, but we'll leave that alone, either way it is. But they're going to make the bottom four of the eight. I think the best they can hope for is 5 and 6 to get a home semi. Parramatta are going to make the top four. They're going to come third or fourth. So they're not going to get it. They're not fighting for a home semi here. And they're potentially risking their number one hooker for a long-term injury because an AC joint, shoulder injury, for a guy who makes 50 tackles a round, he's fucked if he exacerbates that injury. He's gone for the rest of the season. So the fact that they're even considering putting Marnie in, someone explain it to me because I don't understand.
The only thing I can see is they're not mathematically safe to be in the top four. You've got Raiders on 22, Eels are on 26, but that would also mean Raiders would have to win their last three, Eels not pick up a point. Third and fourth don't matter with regards to a home semi. The only thing I could see is we kind of knew Storm players are going to be rested. If they win and Storm lose, they'll be on the same points as Storm for second. But even then, the points differential isn't going to be changed between now and the end of the season, so 222 to 104. But yeah, so yeah, I 100% agree. You've got Ray Stone, who's been there playing dummy half. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to be risking a cog of your team for an injury to get one over a local rival.
Yeah, and see, that's another point of it. There's another argument, and I actually had this conversation today. Oh, they're playing Penrith, the top team. Maybe they'll want to put one over them. No one gives a shit if you put one over them this weekend compared to the finals.
Yeah.
And then I just turned around and said, Newcastle are resting their most attacking player against the Sydney Roosters. So, yeah, if it was another coach, oh, we'll have to play Ponga this weekend. We're playing the Roosters. It's not playing the Broncos or the Bulldogs. But Adam Bryan's like, I don't give a shit about this round. If we keep Roosters below 12, we'll be stoked.
I'd be annoyed if I was an Eels fan.
Okay, so
but Will Smith is on the reserves and he hasn't been there for a little while, so that could mean something.
The game doesn't matter. Leave it alone. Okay, and then you got Ryan Madison, Sean Lane, and Nathan Brown in a back row, with Mitch Moses and Jai Field. So it looks like Dylan Brown is going to be injured for an extended period of time.
He's out for at least 6 weeks. He had the ankle.
Yeah, so if he comes back, if they make the grand final, theoretically that's the only time he can come back.
Yeah.
And then you got Wonga Blake, Michael Jennings, Mike Acevo, Blake Ferguson, and Clint Gutherson. as your backline with Ray Stone, Andrew Davey, Kane Evans, and Oregon Kafusi making out 17. With Hage Dutzer, I'm not even going to. To Kamani Stefano, we'll say that. And my phone just broke. What's the last two?
Will Smith.
Yeah.
And Sam Hughes. So Andrew Davey comes in with Murata Neokore being out with a rib injury.
Yeah.
I'm going Penrith.
Yeah, so am I. But I'm going on Nathan Brown being an idiot. Not Nathan Brown, Brad Arthur.
Yeah, I Parramatta picked up the win last week against the Warriors. It was never in the bag, that win, till the full-time whistle. Penrith weren't near their best last week, and Broncos were heavily improved from what we've seen, but they still won it by double the score of the Broncos.
If he plays, I'll be just sitting there just like, oh, mate, I'll never wish this on someone, but if he hurts his shoulder, I won't laugh at him. I'll laugh at Brad Arthur for considering this as a viable risk.
Yes, yeah, so... All right. What was a pretty decent rivalry a few years back? Dragons versus Raiders. Raiders used to be Dragons' bogey side, even when Raiders weren't fancied and Dragons were. For some reason, they seemed to always get up on them. Debut here in the Dragons side. Very exciting player on the wing in Cody Ramsey. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to him. He's a big, tall bloke.
How would you feel if you were Tristan Saylor or Jason Saar being jumped, considering you've been there all year? Anyway. Matt Dufty at fullback with Jordan Pereira and Cody Ramsey on the wings. Ewan Aitken, Zach Lomax in the centres with Corey Norman and Adam Clune. What happened to Ravalawa? I didn't see an injury or anything.
Got dropped. He didn't play well last week. And that's what Dean Young said. People weren't stepping up to their game last week, so he hooked them.
That's true. All right. Cade Ellis at starting prop with Ben Hunt at hooker. Paul Vaughan returns again from suspension. Tyson Frizzell and Jacob Host in the back row with Cam McInnes at lock. Billy Britton, Josh Kerr, Blake Laurie and Jackson Ford on the interchange. Braden Williami comes into the reserves for the first time in a while. Tyrell Fuimeono has been dropped to the reserves. Ooh, interesting.
He must do a lot of things that coaches don't like, eh?
Fuimeono?
Yeah, because he jumps in and out. But it seems like when the coach comes out and goes, I'm going to drop people, he's first on the chopping block because he always gets dropped.
Yeah.
I
consistency, because, I'd say.
Yeah, he can be so good when he needs to be.
Yeah. For Canberra, fullback Charles Nicol-Klokstad, wingers Semi Vallemi and Nick Kotrick. In the centres, Jared Croker and Jordan Rapana. That's with Curtis Scott being out, yeah? Jack Whiten and George Williams in the halves. Josh Papali has been named to start at prop after AC Fears last week. No damage shown. So it must have been a stinger. Tom Starling gets the 9 outright this week, as does Ryan Sutton with the 10. John Bateman and Elliot Whitehead in the second row with Joseph Tarpany at lock. I like the look of that back row better than when Hudson Young is there. I like that forward back. Silivia Havili, Donamis Louis, Hudson Young, and Corey Hawira-Naira are your interchange. But this is a cool name to see again. In the reserves, Sia Soliola, after that tremendous facial fracture earlier in the season. If you haven't seen the x-rays of it that they posted, check it out. It is intense. So it's good to see his name back. Ricky Stewart's not going to rush him if not required.
Yeah, sorry, on that, they actually came out in the press conference. So after every press conference with a team with a lot of injuries, they go, who's back next week to every press conference? And he said, Sia might be back, but there's a saying at Canberra, you got to save Sia from Sia. Because the week after he broke his face, he wanted to play again. So it's so cool.
That's pretty cool. How's this for a stat? Now, this guy continues to blow my mind with what he's achieving so quickly. Jared Croker, the Raiders captain, requires only 2 goals to become the 10th player to kick 800 NRL goals.
Yeah, he's a freak. And he's only like 27 now, isn't he?
I'm surprised that there's only been 10, well, 9 players to kick 800 goals. But for him to be the 10th already, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, like, you'd have Cameron Smith, Hazem El Masri, Andrew Johns, Daryl Halligan, maybe.
Maybe someone like Brett Hodgson.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Who's reading out the next one? You are. I'll look it up. I'm going.
Croker's only. I'm going Dragons.
Yeah, right. Go for it.
Yeah. I just think that I'm hoping 1 week they listen to Dean Young's team, and I just don't like Canberra. But yeah, Jared Croker's only 29. Which is amazing because theoretically the way he's playing, he very rarely gets an injury. If he wanted to, he's got another 6 years left. That's over another 100 games.
Forgot Thurston. Duh.
Yeah.
Who else did I forget? So Cameron Smith on top of that with 1,266 goals. Jason Taylor, 942. That's second. That far back. And Thurston, and Johns, and El Masri. Oh, Mick Cronin, I missed, at number 6.
So is Brett Hodgson even in there?
Nah. Daryl Halligan, Graham Eadie for Manly, Eric Sims, ninth, and then Jared Croker. Wow. So
okay. So Jared Croker has played 296 games.
James Martin was 11th, bloody hell.
So this year, Jared Croker is going to make his 300th game. He's 29, so theoretically, if he plays to his 35, he's going to overtake Smith as the most games played and probably the highest point score in the NRL history and every other stat you could think of because Jared Croker's a freak. All right, so I'm going Dragons because I'm hoping that Dragons finally listen to Dean Young and actually play well. Next game is a Queensland Derby, which is usually really look forward to, but this year it's kind of like.
Oh, I think this one could have something. So it'll be Fifita's last game for the Broncos.
Oh, it'll be Fifita's last game.
No, Broncos against Titans before he goes.
All right. So for Titans, you got AJ Brimson, Anthony Don, Bo Furmore in the centres. What is he doing there?
Injury to Kelly.
Young Tom Appiah with Corey Thompson in the back five. Ash Taylor, Jamal Fogarty. Jared Wallace finally gets a start for him with Mitch Rain and Moeka Fotuaika. You got Sam Stone, Keegan Hipgrave, and Tyrone Peach. I really like that back row. Sam Stone's been playing really well recently. And you got Aaron Clark, Jai Whitbread, and Jai Arrows at 16.
Uh-huh.
Sam Lasone, yeah. I'd be like, you're leaving soon. We've got to put some people to start, possibly.
And he's coming back from injury. But then, yeah, I think it's a bit of that as well.
Yeah, Tremaine Spry, Darius Farmer, and Nathan Peach at 21. For Broncos, you got Darius Boyd, Corey Oates, Katoni Staggs, Herbie Farnsworth, Richard Kenner in the back five, with Sean O'Sullivan, Tom Dearden in the halves, Reece Kennedy, Isaac Luke at 9, with Payne Haas at front row, David Fifita, Alex Glenn, and Pat Carrigan in the back row, with Corey Pax, Ben Teo, Xavier Coates, and Joe Offahengawi. So they got
a bench.
A winger and a utility off the bench with, okay.
A second row and a prop.
Yeah, Reece Kennedy can't last a full game. Alex Glenn can't last a full game, but Fifita, Carrigan, Haas can last a full game. So it does work, but if you get two injuries, they're in so much trouble. With Jesse Arthurs, Ethan Bullimore, Brody Croft, and Pride Patterson Rabadi. So what happened to Jordan Rickey?
He's suspended for 2 weeks. Pressure
is
tape.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we covered that on Sunday.
Okay. I probably wasn't listening. Okay, Kelly's
ankle injury on Sunday.
I'm going Gold Coast. Because I'm picking against Broncos no matter what for the rest of the year. Who are you picking?
Same reason. Jaya may move into the starting side closer to game time, but he did play long minutes in his injury return last week. Titans have a lot to play for here. If they beat the Broncos, it's the first time in their history they would have beaten them twice in a year. That's enough motivation, I'd say. And also, if they beat them, there is no chance the Broncos can catch them on the ladder.
And if they beat them and Bulldogs win, we're happy.
Yeah. So, Titans got a bit to play for there. Broncos obviously trying to avoid the wooden spoon and don't want to be embarrassed against their usual little brother. So, I could see this. I'm in a really fiery contest.
Broncos weren't going to come out and lose this, will they?
No. So, this... It's not often you get two teams down the bottom of the table. It's a game that you look forward to, but I'm really looking forward to this just to see the even the spike that might be there. Yeah, I'm going Titans as well. Yeah, cool. So,
I got the next one. So, Roosters versus Newcastle. For Roosters, you got Tedesco, Daniel Tupou, Josh Morris, Joseph Manu, and Brett Morris, the back five. That is a very good back five, isn't it? You got Luke Keary, Kyle Flanagan in the halves, Jared Rhea Hargrave, Jake Friend, and Takiyaho up front with Boyd Cordner, Satili Tupanua, and Isaac Liu on the bench. Nat Butcher, Lindsay Collins, Angus Crichton, and Sonny Bill round out the 17. And you got Famasuli, Mitch Orbison, Freddie Lussick, and Brian Hall rounding out the 21. Okay, for Newcastle. So they've actually got a few people back this week. As we discussed earlier, Kalen Ponga got rested this week. You got Tex Hoy. Edric Lee comes back on the wing. That'd be a good battle, actually, between Daniel Tupou and Edric Lee. Kind of. But they're trying to jump the over
lankiest,
each other.
The lankiest battle in the...
Yeah. And then
this will be the first week where the halves don't kick the high ball to those wingers.
I think Daniel Tupou's probably got a bigger leap, but Edric Lee will give him a go.
I'd like to see the halves just put grubbers through on that side
and try and get him reach him down. And then you got Inari Tuala and Shibasaki, probably a very outmatched with experience centre pairing against the Roosters. Stafford Toa on the wing with Mason Leno and Mitch Pearce in the halves. David Clemmer, Kurt Mann, Jacob Safidi, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Aiden Quare, Herman SAS around at the four pack. With Phoenix Crossland comes back from his HIA 2 weeks ago. That was actually really heavy. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. Daniel Safidi returns, which is a timely return for Newcastle. Josh King and Brody Jones. So, we've lost Mitch Barnett, Kalen Ponga, and Hymel Hunt. So all three of them actually got rested this week.
Sione Mataiti is on the reserves for the first time.
And then you got Sione Mataiti, Pasami Solo, Tauta, and Morgan Christian. So I think Mataiti will come in for Brody Jones on the bench. But I'm going Newcastle because it's Newcastle. But if we keep them... Ah, look, who did Roosters play last week? Canberra, 18 points. This is essentially the same team. If we defend well enough for them not to score 18 points, because we'll score what maybe one try, I'd be stoked, to be honest. With the team we're putting out, the resting we've had, Adam O'Brien's essentially going, we're going to focus on defence this week. And make sure you guys defend against this superstar. Because if you can defend well against the Roosters right now, you can defend well against anyone.
Yeah.
So that's what I reckon he's aiming for. He's not really... I don't think he'd even care about attack. He's just using this as a training run for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go Roosters in this one. For obvious reasons. I asked Jared before we came on air, with Roosters getting there... Cavalry back, who would be his starting forward pack moving forward? This is pretty much the strongest Roosters forward pack they can put out there, minus Victor Radley. He'd walk in at lock. Like, if everyone was fit, this is everyone that they would have had to choose from.
Oh, okay. Choose from before you meant starting. Like,
No. Layout. I'm just saying, like, if the Roosters could have everybody, the only other player that would be mentioned would be Victor Radley, unless I'm forgetting someone else. So,
probably Sam Verrills.
Oh, maybe on the bench, yeah. But yeah, so what we're gonna do is just who would our starting forward pack be for the Roosters right now? And I think we agree on four of the five.
So my starting
Jake Friend's hooker. Here you go.
Yeah, so there's six in a forward pack, Adam. My starting forward pack was Taki Aho, Jake Friend, Jared Rhea Hargraves, Boyd Cordner, Sonny Bill Williams, and Angus Crichton.
Okay. So I would... so you kind of you wouldn't have Sonny Bill Williams playing locks. He's not fit enough. I can't have Angus Crichton playing lock because he's too good a line runner.
But if you compare second rowers... And you had to choose between all three. Boyd Cordner gets his spot because he's Boyd Cordner.
Hmm.
Angus Crichton is not as effective as Sonny Bill.
Yeah, I beg to differ there.
Oof.
He's going to score a hell of a lot more points and lead to more tries, I think, than Sonny Bill will for the rest of the year.
Hmm.
You got to forget, like, I know Angus Crichton's been out injured for a lot of the season, but he was the best second row in the league before he got injured.
Yeah, but...
He was already... he'd already scored, two doubles, I think? Was averaging over 120 metres a game.
Well, okay. So maybe I am going off reputation because Sonny Bill is probably not even good enough to be a starter anymore.
I think he's good enough to be a starter.
No, not
he'll get his fitness back to be able to play. Because he's never played the six again rule, remember? It was only in the NRL. He's got to get used to that. My forward pack would be the same as yours, minus Sonny Bill. I'd be putting Cordner and Crichton as the starting second rowers. And I believe Nat Butcher's worked his way up to a starting position at lock. I'd have Sonny Bill on the bench with Isaac Liu and Lindsay Collins and Satili Taupanua. Would be my bench. Four forwards there, and unfortunately for Mitch Orbison in his last season, he
will get a start this year.
He'll get a spot, but we don't have the sentiment towards him as Roosters
fans. I do. but the thing about it is that any of those players we just named could walk on to any other team.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So that just got it. What we just proved there, they've got too rich of a team to play. One thing I am looking forward to, though, is, and this is just a personal thing for me, I'm looking forward to Lachlan Fitzgibbon up against Boyd Cordner, just because of the fact that I don't think Fitzgibbon's been playing to his potential this year, and coming up against Boyd Cordner, I'm hoping he hasn't. He's only scored one try.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, you looked at me funny. No, I just think that, yeah, I really hope he steps up against Boyd Cordner because he needs to. He needs to play better, I reckon. So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see this was down on the sunny coast. I wonder if there's tickets to this game. I'll have a look. So, first game on Sunday, Storm versus the Cowboys at Sunshine Coast Stadium. Storm arresting Pappenhausen, so they're bringing in Nicho Hynes, pretty much his home ground. So, Nicho Hynes in at fullback. Vunivalu is back in from his broken jaw. Branko Lee and Justin Olam are the centres with Josh Adokar. Now, the wing, Cam Munster and Jerome Hughes are in the halves. Jesse Bromwich, Nelson Asofa-Solomona are starting props with Cam Smith at hooker. Fleece Kafusi, Kenny Bromwich and Tino Fasamawali at lock. That's a damn good forward pack. Interchange, Riley Jacks, Darren Schoenig, Albert Vitae, and Isaac Lumi. Reserves, Tui Kamakamika. I haven't seen his name for a while. He had back surgery earlier in the season. So good to see his name back on the reserves. I don't see any. Maybe Tom Eisenhuth coming in for a centre position, but I think they'd be pretty set. For the Cowboys, after picking up a win last week, Valentine Holmes at fullback, starting to look a bit better. Kyle Felt and Hamiso, Fidel on the wings with Justin O'Neill and SN Masters in the centres. I like that back five if they're all in form. Scott Drinkwater and Jake Clifford in the halves. With Francis Molo and Jordan McLean starting props, Ruben Cotter at hooker, Gavin Cooper, Mitch Dunn and Josh Maguire second row and lock. On the bench, we have Dejan Arce, John Asiata, Tom Gilbert and Corey Jensen. And then on the reserves, Jake Granville, Ben Hampton, Peter Holler and Shane Wright. I feel as though the 14 to 21 there have all played a role this year and have been quite interchangeable. Include Gavin Cooper in that as well. So don't be surprised for changes closer to the game. I know it's been a pretty much a write-off season for the Cowboys. The upside that I was hoping with Manly, with Schuster, is they're getting a lot of these young guys good minutes under their belt in different roles, both starting and off the bench. So if you're a Cowboys fan, look out for some of this young talent. Dejan Arce, definitely. Mitch Dunn continues to get better. Have a look at Tom Gilbert when he comes off the bench. That sort of stuff is what you're looking for in a pretty much of a write-off season. For the Storm, you're just happy that you're in the position to be resting people this time of the year. Christian Welch is suspended for the week. Rowan Papanau's out with an Achilles injury, but I think he was said to be rested anyway, but doesn't really matter. Cowboys have lost 8 from 9 against top 8 opposition in 2020. I think they're going to lose 9 from 10. The Storm is still wanting to cement that second position. One win will do it, pretty much. Yeah, it will do. With a 4 and against. So they can pretty much wrap up a top 2 position with a win here and then be able to rest people in the run in. That would be quite appealing to Bellamy, I would say. I've got Storm in this one. I could even say comfortably, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Storm in this one. Cowboys in too much of a hole to dig out of, especially against a team, as Adam said, a fucking good forward pack that Tamalolo is not even in for Cowboys. It's going to be... And another thing about it is when you look at the Cowboys' four-pack, they're not overly mobile. Like, they're not quick off the mark or anything like that. When you compare it to Jesse Bromwich, Fassi Masili, like, they're going to be over the advantage line before the Cowboys can even make two sets is the speed difference in this team. So...
And Tino's come out this week saying he's aiming for a Queensland jersey. That's the jersey he wants.
Yeah. So without Tomalolo, and you know, they've got Smith, they've got Munster, they've got... Well, they won't have Papenhuyzen. I mean, Nicho Hynes isn't a bad play. He won't have the speed off the mark, but he's a better ball player than Papenhuyzen.
And he's a bigger body too.
Yeah. So...
I'd like to see Tino, see if he can pump out 80 minutes. I don't think he will. Bellamy likes to...
There's no way in hell Bellamy would let him, I don't believe. He's not Finucane.
How's this last game of the round? It's a flip of the coin, eh?
Last game, So Cronulla versus Warriors. If Cronulla win this, it completely knocks out the Warriors, but you wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors put one over on them here. So you got Aaron Woods, Blake Brayley, Braden Hamlin-Ueli, Siosofa Talakai with Britton Nakora and Toby Rudolph in the forward pack. I really like that forward pack by Sharks. That's really good.
Yeah, but that's Graham out suspended.
Yeah, so throw Graham in for Talakai and you got a... I like it. Solid. Sean Johnson with Connor Tracy. So Johnson's back in replacement of Chad Townsend. Connor Tracy in the Newcastle game last week was the only one actually attacking for the Sharks.
He's come in for Braden Trindle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's a brand new halves pairing.
Jesse Ramey and Josh Dugan, Sione Katoa, Mutilata and Will Kennedy. Those five have to really step up from their effort last week because they were not good. Especially
Only Katoa wasn't there last week.
Yeah, okay. Mainly the centers. So Dugan, by pure size and speed and experience, should have done a way better job on Shibasaki.
Yeah.
But he got dominated quite easily. And then you got Teague William, Jack Williams, Andrew Fifita, and Royce Hunt. So that's a very, very big bench with Fifita and Hunt. And Jack Williams is more of a Paul Gallen stocky type player. And then you got Scott Sorensen, Bryson Goodwin, Braden Trindle, and Billy McGoolis. Tell you what, this Cronulla team
better really... That's what we've been saying all year.
No. Start thinking about these back rowers they got and which ones they want to keep. Because if I was an opposing coach, I'd be looking at their bench. You got Scott Sorensen, you got Jack Williams,
and Billy McGoolis
with Rudolph just re-signed and Nikora. So they've got five solid back rowers.
Talakai.
Yeah, the Talakai and Wade Graham as well. They're going to do something about keeping these boys because they're solid players. So yeah. Someone's going to pick them up. All right. For the Warriors, you've got Isaiah Papali up front with Carl Lawton and Tanua Brown, with Tohu Harris, Jack Murchie, and Jazz Tavega. Brown out 13. Back row. Chanel Harris DeVito with Cody Nikorima, Peter Higu, Hayes Perham, Adam Pompey, George Jennings, and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Wade Egan, Adam Blair, Daniel Alvara, and Lachlan Burt. Rounded the 17 with Josh Curran, Paul Turner, Tom Alley, Hale, and Gerard Beale. So,
this is weird.
We're Warriors.
Isaiah Papali'i starting at prop, and he's pretty much made all of his... I think he has played prop a couple of times, but he's more known as a second row and lock. So is Lachlan Burr as well at a stage. So Burr's dropped to the bench. Alvaro and Jennings are both in because they couldn't play last week against their parent club in Parramatta.
Yeah, so I'm Warriors just because of the fact I reckon it'd be a good news story to make the 18 call. Because they're the team right now. I was saying for a long time that Cronulla are a dark horse in this competition because they've got such a good team, but they're just not stepping up.
And so a couple of things here. Sharks are sitting eighth. Warriors are 4 points behind them. So yeah, if Sharks win, it knocks the Warriors out of finals.
Yeah.
If Warriors win, they're 2 points away from the eight. With two games left. The other thing, though, with the Sharks, they're saying they're not stepping up. It's not just coincidence that their form's dropped off since Sean Johnson's been out of the side. Their last 3 weeks where they've been struggling to score points, he hasn't been there. And right before he got injured, they were on that winning 4 out of 5 streak. And he hasn't played with Chad Townsend for a lot of the year. So I don't think it really matters who's in the six as long as he's getting the ball.
See, the biggest thing what you were just talking about is that's going against the Warriors is Cronulla are plus 18, Warriors are minus 107. So even if they get on the same amount of points...
Oh, yeah.
Cronulla going to... So essentially, Cronulla...
That's what I mean. If Cronulla... if Cronulla win, Warriors are out.
Yeah, so if Cronulla have to lose all three and Warriors have to win all three to get in.
That starts this week. So who's got more motivation?
Yeah. Who are you going?
This is literally a coin flip, eh?
Yeah, but I'm going Warriors just for the good story.
Warriors would have beaten more teams last week than they would have lost to.
And Cronulla probably would have lost to every team last week.
I'm going to go the Sharks based only on Sean Johnson's inclusion. And I think Josh Morris is going to be in there. Guys, win this, we're in. John Morris, sorry. Win this, we're in. And if Tigers lose as well, they'll know already, actually. If Tigers lose on Thursday night against Rabbits, he'll know that, boys, if we win, we're in finals.
Yeah.
So get out there and win.
And they don't even have to say anything. That's all they have to say. There's no real tactics. You just got to win, guys.
Yeah, I think that's going to be enough motivation. You look at the Tigers' differential is negative 31. So say they lose by 10 even, and Sharks win by 10. That's a 50-point difference to cover over the last 2 weeks, which is still quite a lot to do on top of winning. So we know this time of year, if teams need to win and change their for and against, they throw the ball around, plans go out the window. It's a lot that'll have to fall in the way for the Tigers and the Warriors, but I think the Sharks can put a stop to all of that this week, and that should be enough motivation for them.
Yeah, so there's one more thing I want to go through. So I've just come out recent in the last
We have a chance for a quick show, and here we go.
Okay, so there's going to be radical changes to the 2020 English Super League season. What's happened is because of COVID's been wreaking havoc, because the Super League didn't actually go into a bubble. They didn't really do the changes the NRL did. So to determine their ladder this year, they're actually going on percentages rather than games won.
Oh, point play, yeah, points percentage.
But you have to play at a minimum of 15 games in a season to actually get into the finals. And then on top of that, you got to have a good points differential to jump in. So my phone is broke, but I am trying to get it back up for more details. But in saying that too, before the next podcast on Sunday night, I actually really want to look at the table now compared to what it was and have a look about how it's severely been affected in the whole competition, because that's a lot of money for a lot of teams who might be winning but having a shit points differential, lost for not playing finals this year. And then you got to talk about the players who, it's not their fault because they weren't in the bubble, but contracted COVID by not, well, it is their fault, they're not practicing safe social distancing. Who have essentially ruined the season. So we actually thought NRL was going to be right off because of this, but if we think we're bad right now, we just have to look at England.
Yeah.
So that's massive.
I'm wondering if I can do that. Let's have a look. No, you can't.
All right, I'll read it for you. Cattle and Dragons are the new leaders of the 2020 Super League following a radical change of the system, with final positions to be determined by points percentage rather than points gained. The move by Rugby League Football acknowledges the real possibility not all clubs will be able to play the same number of matches before the end of the season due to effects of coronavirus pandemic. So far, there are 6 league fixtures to rearrange, and with 6 of the 11 clubs having players who have tested positive for COVID-19, Rugby Football League is clearly bracing itself for more disruption. That's huge. The Rugby RFL says to qualify to playoffs, a team must have played a minimum of 15 matches, although it retains the right review to stipulation. Also relax the salary cap for 2020 season. Clubs can now use any player in their register, including those recalled from loan spells without impacting the cap, provided the player has a value of £53,000 at least. And if a player is tested positive for COVID-19, is unable to return to minimum isolation or return to play periods, the club will be allowed to sign a replacement. Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we'll have a quick look at what the table was and what the draw table is now. But just goes to show you that Peter Vlandis is a full-on badass. And the players who potentially ruined it, I'm talking about Tevita Pangai Jr., Latrell Mitchell, Josh Adokar, all they have to do is just look at English Super League and go, I could have done that to NRL.
Oh, very nice. Very wise there, Jared.
Well, I'm still pissed off at them, and I still don't agree they should be playing.
I know. I'm having a look. It's hard to find any value this week. I'm kind of liking the odds of Bulldogs over Manly at 275. You could say the same with the Warriors, 245, but Cronulla's 157, so you don't get a big gap there. St. George paying 310 over Canberra, 137.
Yeah.
All the rest I'd probably stay away from. You might get some good lines on the Roosters with regards to some of the Knights players being out. Oh, I kind of like that. That's cool.
Tell you what. Well, Newcastle gone $7. Holy shit. Yeah. Tell you what. Parramatta free 10 over Pembroke, $1.37. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And Warriors, $2.40.
All right, there we go. There's my... Oh, what?
Okay. So since this is the podcast, we're actually supposed to talk.
Oh, yeah, you're meant to be talking. I'm doing something. talking.
Yes. So for this year, this week, me and Adam have actually picked every team together by Newcastle Roosters. Sharks game, Roosters game, and Canberra game. So we're each going to get only three or five.
Three or five.
Well, if
I'm going to get eight. I don't know what you're talking about, but, you know. I can't need another full round.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, so,
there's my bet for the week. I'm going to take Roosters at $1.09 against the Knights. But I'm also going to get them to cover the line of 19.5 points.
Jesus.
But I'm also going to go a half-time, full-time double. It's going to be a draw at half-time, and then Roosters are going to run away with it. So the draw at half-time with Roosters winning at full-time, $16. That's a $41 payout. So I'm saying Roosters are going to win by about 20, but it's going to be a draw at half-time, and then they'll just run right in the second half.
Mm.
There you go. Boom. That's us done. Good luck for the weekend, guys. Tigers, Sharks, Warriors. You're going to have a nervous weekend. Good luck to supporters of all three of those teams. Storm, remember, if you win this week, you pretty much you lock up a top two position, so a lot to play for you guys. And the battle out west, Parramatta versus Penrith, should be a cracker. That's Friday night. Don't forget the Queensland Derby. And if Broncos do lose, I'll be watching the Manly Bulldogs game to see what happens there. All right. Oh, sorry. I think the Bulldogs Manly game's first. But anyway.
Yeah, so if Dogs win, you guys, they'll be watching the Broncos Gold Coast game.
Yeah, that's true. All right, guys. Yeah. We'll see you. We'll talk to you Sunday. Nights. I think that's pretty much what it is. And thank you again to all of our listeners. Keep sharing, liking, posting. And if you do listen to us on Apple, so on iTunes or on Spotify, please rate and review. It does help our cause to spread the word of rugby league. But thank you to everyone who's continued to support us through the whole season, and we'll chat to you on Sunday.
See you.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.